Welcome to our podcast series, Unfiltered. This is where we have courageous conversations about topics that are not always discussed in the mainstream or in the workplace.
Here we strip away the polished surface and dive into the raw, messy, and deeply human topics that we don't think get talked about often enough.
We are your unfiltered hosts. I'm Amy from the Courage of a Leader podcast.
And I'm Daphna from Leadership Live podcast. We two coaches from two sides of the world who believe that real growth happens in the uncomfortable, unspoken moments.
From workplace trauma to dealing with major life changes and taboo topics like grief, imposter syndrome, and menopause, this is the space where nothing is off limits.
So if you're ready for honest, bold, and sometimes messy conversations, let's get into it. So welcome to Unfiltered, Courageous Conversations about Imposter Syndrome. Today, we're diving into a topic that so many of us experience, but maybe sometimes find it hard to admit. Imposter Syndrome, it's that nagging feeling that you don't belong, that you're a fraud, that any moment now, someone will realize you have no idea what you're doing.
Yes. Yes, Daphna, we both felt it. And I know that we are not alone. We both hear it from the leaders that we work with. And research shows that up to 70% of people experience imposter syndrome at some point in their lives. So today we want to have an unfiltered conversation and unpack what is it really, why does it happen, and how can we move through it? How can we deal with it when it shows up?
Right. Oh, I'm excited about this one.
Yeah, so Daphna, I know you've done some research on what is imposter syndrome. So why don't you kick us off?
Okay, cool. I know that I did do a bit of reading and I wanted to know where it started. And apparently this phrase and term was coined by two psychologists in 1978. Would you believe that? Because I thought it was a much more recent development or concept than, you know, going back as far as that. And in fact, it was based on research done with high-achieving women, but what has been found since then is that it actually applies to different genders, ethnic backgrounds, whatever it is, it applies to everyone. Yeah. And about 70% of people experience it. So I think that's, something that, as you said, we've both felt, we know, we've seen in others in the work that we do. And what is your take on it?
Yeah, I definitely think it is a human condition. And I would venture to guess that it's been around forever. And we
exactly.
Somebody named it in 1978. Yeah. And when you said that description of its formal initiation, I just thought, gosh, it probably has a lot to do with how our brains work. How our brains are designed to help us survive and has that mechanism to identify threats. And we feel that threat. We feel that threat. And do we know how to deal with it? Do we know how to deal with it? We're in a new situation. Maybe we've done this kind of work before, but not at this level or not with these people or not in this particular set of circumstances. So yeah. I think it has a lot to do with the natural survival mechanism of our brain telling us we better be equipped for this situation in front of us.
Exactly. I think it goes right down to survival. And in fact, the way that I often like to look at it is actually, you know, as I said, I thought it was a more recent thing, but you're right. It's been around forever because for me, it really is about self-doubt. It's a label that we've given to self-doubt, which is whenever we feel we're on shaky ground. And then, in this particular instance around work, we've called it imposter syndrome. We feel like we're a fraud. We feel like we haven't done the distance, you know. Completely, believe in ourselves, and all those little doubts creep out up, and those doubts are linked to survival. It's the fight or flight response that we have that is wired into our physiology in our brain.
Yes, yes, I think that's a great way to define it, Daphna. Self doubt, right? And that self doubt mounting in such a way where somebody sees it and might actually say to a coach or someone else. I know you and I have heard it from the leaders that we work with. I've got imposter syndrome.
Right.
So I'm glad that more people are able to admit.
Yeah. And I think there's something powerful about being able to name it as well, to call it imposter syndrome. I think naming something makes it easier to then deal with it, manage it, talk about it, not feel so alone in the experience. And I actually think it's a powerful way to begin the process of what do I do with this thing that makes me feel like a fraud?
Yes. Yes. So I think that's probably step one in our, how do we deal with this?
Yeah. Right? Is, we haven't even got there yet, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. is to name it. But let's share some more examples.
Yes, I think that will be useful.
Of how this can show up.
Hmm. So I actually, that's a really great segue because I did do a little bit of reading also on the apparently there are different types of imposter syndrome. Yep. So I think the overall umbrella is the, I feel like a fraud, I'm going to be found out, I'm not good enough, and all that voice in our head that speaks to us. But there's a few reasons that can lead to it.
Okay.
So we'll look at five. And the first one is the perfectionist. Okay. It's like, if it's not perfect, then I'm a failure.
Yeah.
The second is the expert. I need to know everything and be absolutely sure of everything before I can speak up or before I can give my contribution.
Mm-hmm.
The soloist, which is if I ask for help, then they'll know I don't belong. They'll know I don't know. So that's the scared part of actually reaching out and saying I need some more help, support, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then the natural genius. If I struggle, it means I'm not truly talented. Ooh, which is also interesting.
Uh-huh.
And then the superhero. I have to work harder than everyone else to prove that I'm worthy. So
yeah, and I can save the day. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to repeat those back and invite our listeners, Daphna, to identify for themselves which ones are most likely to rise up and cause imposter syndrome for them.
Right.
Perfectionist. Expert, soloist, natural genius, and superhero.
Right.
Yeah.
I think those are powerful ways to look at it because to me it speaks to the expectations, perhaps societal expectations of how we need to be or how we need to show up. We need to know everything. It needs to be perfect. We can't ask for help. Surely we should know this without, you know, needing to learn more. And surely I can have all the answers and come and save the day if I know what I'm doing. So to me, it really speaks to the pressure and societal expectations.
Yes, we've got those societal expectations. And then we've got the marketplace variables. There's quite a lot of competition right now. There's lean organizations. I know so many organizations that are really moving at a fast pace right now to try to take advantage of an opportunity or to create or sustain their competitive advantage or grow to a certain size so that they can be purchased or merge or whatever it is. So that is creating a need to move quickly,
right?
Inside of having high expectations for perfectionism, having everything 100% thought of, taken care of. And we probably really need to be moving forward with the 80-20 rule. So there's like some competing pressures there that make it impossible for employees in the workplace.
Exactly. And I'm going to add another layer to that. And I think that it relates to women and minorities.
Yeah.
I think that imposter syndrome tends to show up more quickly with women and minorities, because although I have, even working in my practice, which is pretty much equal men and women, sometimes more men, I've seen this come up with men as well, for sure. But for women, we almost start, and other minorities, we start on the back foot almost. We start almost with this experience of, do I have what it takes? Am I good enough? That it kind of puts us into that self-doubt and imposter syndrome even more quickly or even more.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. I do hear it slightly more from women, from minorities than other groups. We're starting on that back foot. we might not see the role models that look like us, right? Which does create a do I belong here? Yep. Can I handle this kind of question?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But I want to throw in something else, because this has also always been my approach with imposter syndrome, and maybe like a bit of a positive spin on it.
Okay. Yes.
And that is that for me, if you've hit imposter syndrome, if you're starting to feel like a fraud or like maybe you're going to be found out and you don't have what it takes, maybe that's an indicator that you've hit the next level, that you are ready for the next level. Expectations are now higher. You've been given the promotion. You are taking on something bigger. And that doubt creeps up, which is really an indicator of, hey, something big is on the other side.
Yes.
Stretching you, challenging you, and encouraging you to go even further.
Yes. I like this, Daphne. There's a part of you that has said, yes, I'm ready for this next stretch. I'm ready for this next challenge. And so there's that part of you that rears up and goes, wait, are you sure we have to survive this? Yes. This is your brain talking. But I love that framing of it, right? That means that you're stretching, you're growing, you are about to learn a whole bunch of stuff about yourself and about your circumstances. Yeah.
And that could be scary. I mean, as coaches, we know that we want to encourage and support people to dream big and achieve big goals. And whenever they do, it always does come with a little bit of fear.
Yes.
Because we say if the goal is big enough, you are going to be fearful about it. You know, you are going to get a little scared. It should scare you a little bit, you know, in a good way.
We both talk about courage, right? And that doesn't mean the lack of fear. That means moving forward and taking on the challenge in spite of the fear. And I would add something else to this, Daphne, that when doubts creep up, it also shows that we care. We care about doing a good job. We care about doing right by our teams and the business and our clients or whatever is at stake in the situation.
That it's important enough to us. I love that angle as well. We really do care. I think sometimes what's coming up for me now is that we also probably care about what people think and how people see us. And that is also part of it. And sometimes we want to let that go a little bit. Just take the risk, take the step. Don't worry if you think you're going to sound stupid or silly or whatever it is, but that creeps in as well.
No, absolutely. Let's be real about this, right? We care about how we are going to come across. And I got to tell you, another human phenomenon in this is that comparison gremlin. Mm-hmm. And Daphne, we do a very nasty thing to ourselves when we're comparing ourselves to others. Right. We will look at somebody else's business development or marketing know-how, and we pick the best person we know that is most expert in business development. And then I compare my business development self to that person. And then I pick the person that's best in whatever other trait and compare myself to, right? We compare the best out there to ourselves. We are not fair to ourselves.
We are definitely not fair to ourselves. And again, I'm going to add a layer to that, because what we are comparing is what we're seeing on the outside, right? We are seeing what's on the outside, what that person's output is. We have no idea what went into getting that output and what their other person's thinking is, but we're comparing their outside, what we can see, to our inside.
Yes.
Our feelings of self-doubt and uncertainty and not knowing what we're doing and not knowing what the next step is and feeling scared. We're comparing our inner feelings to the person's outside look, you know, success.
Post for Instagram after the whole journey.
Yeah. Right. So that's another unfair thing we do to ourselves. And I think that all adds to that feeling of imposter syndrome. And I think it's real. It's very real, you know. And I think something about, I want to say here, when you've hit that space, maybe give yourself a pat on the back and say, maybe you've earned it. I don't know. How does that sound?
I love that, right? You're taking yourself to another level. You're stretching yourself. you're setting yourself up for development and can be breakdowns along the way, but it sets us up for a breakthrough.
Yeah. And that it's completely normal. I think you said it earlier, it's part of the human experience. Yeah. We don't grow without feeling a little bit uncertain, without feeling a little bit of the fear of what if it doesn't work out or what will people think. We don't grow without that. So to also give it its right place, you know, in the whole frame and the whole picture.
Yes, yes. And why we're talking about it today, Daphna, right? Because we want it to be more of a mainstream, normalized conversation. Exactly. That this is a human phenomenon. It happens in our journey of growth. If we're taking on new challenges, if we're evolving, then there are going to be times that imposter syndrome comes up for us.
Mm. And I think the more we try to hide it and pretend that it's not there, the more of a disservice we're doing to ourselves, and the more it even comes up even more, I think.
The more
we try to hide it, the more it's kind of in that dark corner of our brain wanting to get some attention and get some comfort or safety. So it will be even more present with us in our inner conversation.
Yeah. So I think we're coming back to naming it, recognizing it. And when we name it, it can pull some of the power away from it.
Exactly.
It's not secretly running the show in the background without being checked by us. Yeah. Right. To be able to say, oh, you're here. You're doing your thing. I see you.
I see you.
And you're here. And that means I care. And that
exactly.
I'm taking on something new, something bigger. Yeah.
And I wonder if it's worth just thinking of a few examples of people that we've worked with, or even from our own lives, or if we know of some celebrity examples. But what came up for me is this client that I work with, and she is fabulous at what she does. She works at a great company. She's got a senior position. She's constantly getting feedback that she's appreciated and she's good at it. Uh-huh. And yet, in every session where she told me that she was called in by her manager to have a conversation, she always fears that this is going to be the conversation where she eventually gets fired, or where she eventually gets found out that she's really not that good, or she really doesn't know what she's doing, which is contrary to all the evidence.
Yeah.
So that was, I was really thinking about her, because she comes and says, you won't believe, my manager called me to have a conversation, and immediately my heart started beating fast, and I thought, for sure, this is the day that I'm going to get found out. And I always just smile, because I know that's not where it's going, you know?
Where do you think that comes from, Daphna? I mean, I think it goes back to, I mean, sometimes we create those emotional triggers for ourselves. Something happened in our background. We were called in, and it was a time we were in trouble. I mean, it could go back to the principal's office. I don't know, or early in our career, right? And now our brain says, oh, you got in trouble that one time. Right. And here it is again.
That memory. You know, and you're actually reminding me, with that particular client that I'm thinking of, there was, in her first job ever, she was pulled out of the blue and she was fired on the spot. And that has stayed with her forever, forever. And that keeps, it's the recycled memory that keeps cropping up with that trigger of the manager saying, I want to speak to you. Because she was ambushed in this. It was done really horribly and very young. So
it can be looking at, like, what are those triggers for me? And what is this week or one piece or whatever? It could be valid evidence from the past, right? And we let that outweigh all the evidence of progress
all the
and
evidence
success.
To the contrary.
Yes. Because when you brought up about examples, and that's That's a great one, right? Where we would all look at this individual and be like, why do you have imposter syndrome? I've recently worked with a fairly newly promoted young lady, and she got promoted above some of her peers. And now there's some people on her team that are older than her, have more years of experience. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy for her to look at that set of circumstances and say, why me? How can I be the leader of this group? And having some folks on the team question that, right? Because they think that they should have been the one that was promoted to the leader. So she's getting some feedback, right? That she could use that as evidence that I shouldn't be here. And we've had to have a number of conversations around why are you here? Yeah. Right? What did your leadership see in you? Why are you the one that's leading? What value do you bring? Even if you don't know person A's job inside and out, what value do you bring?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm wondering, does she feel like she needs to constantly prove her case?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Because it throws you into that kind of thinking because everybody is watching you now. Your team is also, as you said, asking those same questions. So you can throw yourself into this loop of, I need to prove myself all the time because I'm not sure that I'm really good enough.
Right. And that is an unrealistic pressure, right? Because, she's starting to feel like every time I interact with the team member, every time I bring the team together, right, I better show some brilliance or some over-the-top value to why it's me here. And then, like, sometimes that's not appropriate for every interaction. And how do we ground ourselves in, here's the value that I bring with my leadership, with my skills? And so I think that is definitely been some of the how with this individual. Mm-hmm. Who are you? What are you grounded in? What do you stand for? What are you bringing to the team and the team's work? You know, and how do you promote them, advocate the work of the team up and out in the organization, and just be really grounded in that value and know that you're providing that. Right. And then you can find your moments. I call them PR, right? Like, then you can find your moments for PR to let the team know, hey, we got this question that came in and I was able to let them know about the unique and distinct value that our team provides.
Right. Exactly. I love that. I love how you framed that because you've really gone into the different levels. Where do you bring value? How do you promote your team? How do you promote yourself? I think that PR piece is really important, is to also be able to talk about your accomplishments together with the team's accomplishments, but remind yourself and others that you have value and what is your specific value and how do you make sure that it's known? I think that is definitely something that's worth working on. I think it's a journey. I think it's something that also comes in waves. So it's practicing your own awareness around it and being able to talk about it and being able to find ways to remind yourself of your value, you know, of what you are proud of, what you've been successful in, what value you bring, what's your unique value, what makes you special, what makes you good at what you do, and keep reminding yourself about that. I think, working with a coach who can help to remind you is very, very helpful. But even for yourself, make a list of the things that you've done, your successes over the, I say to my clients, make a list of, depends on the client, but I go at least 50 things that you're proud of over the last year. And you've got to look for the small things and the big things and remind yourself that you actually have a lot to bring, a lot of value.
Yes. I want to piggyback on the last two things that you said, Daphna. You said remind yourself of your value, but remind yourself of what makes you special. What's that unique value? Because I think sometimes we can get into the phonetic energy of trying to provide different kinds of value in all the different kinds of situations. I think leaders that are really grounded in, here's my zone of genius, right? Here's the unique thing that I provide, and not trying to provide 27 different things
right.
at all times, but what's like the 1 to 3 things that you always are bringing? Because it's natural to you, it's ingrained in you, and you've been building those muscles throughout your lifetime. Because I think that imposter syndrome can get stronger if we're trying to do different things in different situations.
Right.
So what's
right.
that special value? And then get your list of mounding evidence.
Yes, exactly.
I have that you bring that value. I have a folder in my email, I'm going to admit, Daphna, I call it the feel good folder.
Nice.
And when I get some kudos or there's some strong nice. Results or something shows up in a written format, right? I take that and I put that in the feel good folder.
I love that, Amy. I think everybody should have a feel good folder. It's
yes.
fantastic.
I should also probably visit it more often.
Probably. But what a beautiful idea, because I think that we are so quick to overlook or discard or get through quickly when we receive a compliment or when our value has been highlighted. Or we give ourselves a pat on the back, we celebrate it, but then we move on to the next thing very quickly. And it's so important to pause for a moment. I love that. Put it in the feel-good folder so that you can revisit it, you know, remind yourself. Excellent, excellent suggestion there. Really, really
yes.
good.
So if I were to recap some of our how-tos, acknowledge it when imposter syndrome creeps up, starts to show itself in some way. Acknowledge it, name it. Normalize
talk
it.
About it. Talk about it. Share.
Yes.
Share with others how you're feeling. Don't pretend that everything's okay and you're feeling like you're on top of the world, because then you're increasing that gap. So yeah, but talk about it.
And that's so useful to you to know that you're not alone. And that's so useful to your team, to those around you, right? For them to feel like they're not alone,
mm-hmm.
to support them in not having imposter syndrome.
Exactly.
Running
is
the
that
show.
Where you're actually role modeling as well, that it's, you're normalizing your role modeling. You're saying, okay, we can talk about it. I love that.
Yep.
Collecting the evidence, doing our personal PR exercise.
Yep. Yep. And grounding yourself in your value and knowing that you bring that.
Mm-hmm. And the feel good folder.
Yeah.
And there was something that we haven't discussed that I actually would like to just bring in kind
yeah.
of on the tip of the fork, so to speak. But
okay.
There's something about understanding that it is really just in our thinking.
Mm.
That when we think we have imposter syndrome, we really are, we are responding to
That's
our
great.
Thoughts. We're experiencing. Yeah, our
yeah.
thinking rather than experiencing the actual reality of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
There is no real factual circumstance that will say you're an imposter. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, we're talking about somebody that forged a university certificate and claims to have a degree when they don't have a degree.
Okay, right.
But in general, the imposter
yes.
syndrome that we're talking about is self-doubt. It's in our heads
yes.
and it's our response to our thinking. And if we can just, you know, even look at it, play with it a little bit and say, that's just a thought.
Yeah.
And I heard something recently that I thought was so good. And that instead of saying, I have imposter syndrome,
yes.
say, I think I have imposter syndrome, or I'm having the thought that I have yes. imposter syndrome.
Yes.
And then you're actually creating a little bit of distance, because you're not saying this is a fact.
Right.
You're saying, I am having that thought.
It's
that
coming up in my thinking.
Yep. Exactly. Is it and then you can say, is it a true reflection of reality?
Yes.
Not
yes.
necessarily.
Because when you create that bit of distance, then you can look at it more objectively and
right.
get the questions
right.
like you were just saying, Daphna.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
this true? What does it warn? What do I want to do about it? Sometimes these thoughts and feelings come up as information, right?
Uh-huh.
Are the there's something in our being is wanting us to do something about it. And yeah. it might just be that regrounding.
Exactly.
The value exactly. we bring.
Yeah. So recognizing it as a thought and then questioning, what is this thought here to do? And sometimes it's, I need to get grounded. I need to understand I'm going to the next level. Or maybe it's sometimes our saboteurs at play saying, be careful, be careful. So we want to, each one would have a different response, right? Each one would have a different strategy to deal with it.
Yes.
So if you really worth
just if worth you're out changing. There experiencing imposter syndrome, please know you are not alone. You are in very good company.
Yes, and reach out, talk about it, make it part of the conversation. And yes, there's work to be done. And yeah, let's do the work.
Yeah. Let us know your thoughts, your feelings, your reactions to this episode. Reach out to either one of us or put some notes in the comments below.
Yes. And if it resonated with you, if this topic resonates with you, please do share it and pass it on to others as well.
All right. Thank you for listening to Unfiltered.
Courageous conversations about imposter syndrome.
That's a wrap on this episode of Unfiltered, where we have courageous conversations about topics that are not often discussed in depth. We hope this conversation sparked something in you, whether it's a new perspective, a moment of reflection, or just the reassurance that you're not alone.
If you found this episode meaningful, please share it with someone who needs to hear it. And if you have a topic that you'd love for us to tackle, let us know. We are always up for conversations that don't get talked about enough.
Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and connect with us on LinkedIn. All our details are in the show notes, because the best conversations don't end here.
Until next time, stay curious, stay courageous, and stay unfiltered.